As I've gotten closer in service, as always, I'm just starting to feel it a little more. So I want to read to you. I've got several texts I'm going to read from. Only one of them is probably about 10 verses. The rest are just a couple. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Matthew 12 and 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. I just would like to preach to you on the topic, a house divided. If they would pray for us. Thank you, Brother Jerome.
Father, we come before you tonight asking you to use Pastor to preach this word to the best ability he can, Lord. Lord, that we've come in here with an open mind and an open spirit, God, Lord, not to think about what we're eating for dinner tonight, God, but to think about the word and to apply it to our lives. Lord, we're thankful, God, for the man of God that you placed in our life. We pray that you would use him tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Leave it to Brother Jerome to mention the word dinner on a fasting day. We weren't thinking about dinner until you prayed that we wouldn't think about dinner. You can be seated if you'd like. Honey, you're good. I'm good. Thank you. Doesn't she look lovely? Only one person agreed and everybody else felt obligated. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, explained to them that a kingdom divided is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided shall not stand. He went on to explain, now watch this, that if he cast out devils by the Spirit of God, that means this is evidence that the kingdom of God has come unto you. Let me say that one more time. If you want to know if we are operating within the kingdom of God, God is delivering people. He then said, and I've never looked at verse 29 in the way I'm going to share it with you tonight. Else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? I've only preached that verse from one perspective over the years, and that perspective was very simply this. If the devil wants to do a good thing, he will bind the strong men of the house and spoil the goods. But Jesus is not preaching to the devil. He's preaching to the people. And he is letting the people know, if the adversary, the enemy, the opponent, whoever he might be, if he can get into your home and bind the strong man of the house, the praying man, the fasting man, the God-fearing man, if he can do that, then he can spoil the house. Remember, he's preaching about division. He's preaching about the house being divided. And the way you divide the house is always to cut off the head. And so if the adversary can get in and bind the strong man of the house, he can ruin the home. Or he can ruin the city. Or he can ruin the country. And then he went on to clarify, if you are not with me, you are against me. If you are not gathering, you are scattering. If you are not bringing the body closer together, you are tearing the body further apart. A house divided cannot stand. It is not good enough for us to gather together on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning. What the Lord wants for us is to gather together to see God delivering people from demonic possession and oppression and strongholds and things of that nature. The only way that can happen, the only way we have evidence that the kingdom of God has come into the church, is when the church is not divided. If we've been in a flow for the last several weeks, if you haven't noticed, just go back and listen to the messages. If the adversary can get in and he can bind the leader of the home, the man of the home, and how would he bind him? Well, through many ways. Opposition can move against him to overwhelm him. He can bind him by leading him astray and leading him into sin. And he has now incapacitated the strong man of the home. He has now exploited a weakness in the home and thereby leaving the home vulnerable. And what happens when the leader of the home is incapacitated? It now leaves room for the spirit of the adversary to come in. And he can bring confusion into the house. He can bring fear into the house. He can bring division by way of bickering one against the other, pitting them. Because the strong man, the one who is the protector of the home, has now been bound by one means or another. And the Lord said, I'm here to tell you that the house divided will not stand. Have you ever wondered what's gone wrong in your house? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it loud and clear as I've said it before. God did not call single women to lead the home. I'm not saying it's your fault, even though everybody plays a part. What I am saying is God did not call single women to raise the home. And if you are of that sort, then the adversary has bound the strong man of the house. That doesn't mean that women can't be praying women. It doesn't mean that you can't do this or that or even lead your children. But it does mean there will always be a weakness in your house. If the man will not rise up and take his role as the leader, not the tyrant, not the dictator, not the man that tells everybody what to do, but the leader of the house. And you want to know how you begin leading? Somebody shout it out for me. On your knees, you grow taller than trees, is the old cliche. If anybody in the house is praying, it should be the man. And if the man is not praying properly, if the man is not in tune or in touch with God, he has left his home vulnerable. He's given room for the... Now, it's not always the man's fault, because sometimes the adversary will move against the man by way of trying to overwhelm him. That's where we have Nehemiah and the wall. And that's why Nehemiah, understanding they had a weakness, and that was they were spread out over the length of this wall trying to rebuild the wall. And so he came up with a plan. If we're spread out and if the adversary attacks, he said, we'll blow a trumpet and we'll call for help. If you're a single mother today, the worst thing in the world you can ever do is not call on the church to help you in your hour of need. The worst thing you can do is what the world tells you you can do. I can fulfill the role of a husband and a wife. No, you cannot. You cannot, and you never will. It is not biblical, and I will not tolerate that type of spirit whatsoever in the church. That's a lie from hell. God made man, and he gave man dominion in the garden. Period. End of story. Now, if I was a lady, and I'm not, and I know that, but if I was, I'd be jumping for joy right now. You know why I jump for joy? Every day I went home, I'd say, don't forget you're responsible for this house. Don't forget, man, you're the one responsible for the spiritual nature of our house. Don't forget, man, you want to be the big guy? Have at it. I'm going to watch a soap opera. You go pray and take care of business in the house. Now, I'm not saying you should just completely disengage yourself. But what I'm saying, if I was a woman, that's exactly what I'd do. You say, how do you know you're not a woman? That's my feminine side speaking. And some of y'all are like, you don't have a feminine side. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. You will not understand why I'm mingling these two, but you will in just a moment. The kingdom of God in this earth is a very balanced kingdom. It's very possible to be operating incorrectly within the kingdom of God. Now, when I get into 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, I really love to go one place with it, so I'm going to try very hard to stay away from it tonight and stay on topic. And the reason I say that about this balance is the Corinthian church was operating in the gifts, but it was all messed up. We seem to have this thought process that if the Holy Ghost is moving, if the gifts are moving in our church, that we've got everything right. That's not necessarily true at all. It does mean we're on the right track, but it doesn't mean everything's right. I'm going to prove that to you in a second. But let me read this. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For it to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. That is the gift of tongues. That is not you praying in the Spirit. That is not what that's talking about at all. That's why you got to read chapter 14, but I won't get on it. I'm going to stay on cue. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And when you go down to verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body. The schism simply means a split or a gap. A couple years ago, we had a split in this baptismal tank. And although it looked whole, we understood when the carpet was soaking wet in the back that there was a schism in the tank. And it wasn't an easy schism to fix. You know all too well what a schism can do. Susan, you had a schism in your foundation, which almost brought your house down. That's what a schism can do. If you ever had a schism in your tire, you know very well that eventually all the air is going to leak out. If you had a schism in your window in your house or in your sliding door, which we did, all the water would just come in and just soak the inside of the door because there was a schism somewhere in the door that we couldn't find and water was creeping in. We couldn't see it. It wasn't obvious to the eye. Oh, I could feel I could preach right now if I was allowed to. I want to tell you every schism in the body is not obvious to the eye. We got to be very careful who we put on a pedestal, whether it be your mama or your daddy or your best friend or even the preacher. Because sometimes there's a schism and we just can't figure out why the spirit just don't seem right in church anymore. And we can't figure out why the worship team just seems like they're just not clicking like they used to. And we can't figure out why it seems so hard sometimes now to feel the Lord when I'm praying at the altar. And it's typically because there's a schism somewhere. There's a crack or a split. There's a leak somewhere that needs to get fixed. And so Jesus, in his wisdom, Paul, he says, listen, folks, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It might just begin with a schism, but eventually it's going to bring the entire structure down because that's what a schism can do. And then he says, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's a reason that we hurt when somebody in the church hurts. Because the body feels the pain. The worst place you can ever be is not hurt when somebody else is hurting. The worst place you can ever be is to not feel the pain of the church. Not feel the heartache of somebody else's pain and their suffering and whatever it is that they're dealing with at that time. There's got to be a connection. And if there is a schism, that has a way of breaching that connection. And it's the adversary, one way or another, he is trying to bring down the house. I don't know if I'll still preach this on Sunday, but I'm going to give you a little excerpt. The Lord began to talk to me a little bit this week about Troy and the Trojan horse. What a great city and a glamorous city Troy was. 10 years they were besieged by King Agamathar, I think is how you say it. Anybody remember how to say it? Agamemnon, my man. And they could not get in the city. But when they disguised something as something that it wasn't, when they disguised that horse as a gift with all kind of adversaries inside waiting to creep out, you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you think somebody might be your friend and they're not. You got to be careful when somebody is speaking against the body. Because chances are they might present themselves as a gift, as somebody that cares, but in actuality, they themselves are a schism in the body, and they're trying to bring a crack, a gap, just something small enough to get through it in order to burn the city to the ground. I dare say we do not protect our homes and our churches enough. I dare say we have a tendency to call out all the flaws thinking that we are heroic. But in actuality, we're not. We know we have flaws. We know we have weaknesses. There is nobody, no, not one, that is perfect. But when the adversary begins to try and highlight those flaws and those weaknesses, anybody with any common sense or Holy Ghost in them should realize there's a schism in the body. When the adversary begins to whisper things in your mind, the accuser of the brethren, and he begins to whisper things against your spouse, against each other. Yep, still leaking. We've had backup sewage problems here all day. We had the sewer backed up and it's a mess. It's still wet, Brad. Water's coming. Hopefully it's just leaking out there. But anyway, there have been times in my life where I felt a crack or a schism in my own home. And I knew what it was. I knew that the adversary was trying to find a weakness because his ultimate goal is to bring the house down. He has no other, I got news for you. He don't care one bit about you. He don't want to bring somebody down. He wants to bring the house down. And I learned years ago that if you can get to the houses in the church, you can get to the church. If you can get to some of your stalwarts in the church by bringing division and bringing schisms into their home, then that vicariously now has a ripple down effect, and it now begins to affect the church. I've watched good people, their homes and families torn apart, and it completely destroyed their walk with God. It destroyed their place in the church, not because the church made them outcast, but because it damaged them to such an effect, and many times they would just go and quit and wind up backsliding. That's what happens when there is a schism. What the church should be doing is watching out collectively together for schisms rather than ignoring them or pretending like they don't exist. What you should be doing in your family and in your home is watching for schisms, watching for little things that the adversary would do in order to bind the strong man of the home in order to bring desolation to your household. What does desolation to a household look like? What does it look like? Does anybody even know? Can anybody even comprehend what desolation to a house? I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like divorce. It looks like rebellious children. It looks like a husband and a wife that cannot get along. It looks like somebody cheating on his spouse. You want to know what a schism looks like? I've just told you. And I do not want you to walk away from here thinking, hey, I ain't been with any other women. Have you been online? All of those things are schisms. That's why the Bible says every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust. You're not tempted because the church is no good. You're not tempted because you can't be used. You're not tempted because nobody recognizes you. You're tempted and drawn away of your own lust and enticed. And lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin. Once that schism now takes place, it eventually opens up and becomes a bigger crack or a gap. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It brings forth desolation and destruction of the home. And look at our world and see what the adversary has done with schisms. He has destroyed the family as a whole. He's destroyed churches. He's weakened the churches. And I haven't got to my point just yet. Because we have become content with a sign out front and a building that we call church and a praise team on the platform and a little pretty sermon of the day. We've become content with that, and we've not seen the schisms that have brought down the houses for generations. And Jesus said, Paul speaking unto his behalf, he said, if the kingdom of God has come, you'll see devils cast out. You're not going to see things go on. You're not going to see. Listen to me. We're there. We're on the cusp. We've been trying to reach a place. And I will tell you that we're close. And I feel the Holy Ghost confirming this. And when we get there, some of these people that have played games for years because they're bound by drugs and demonic oppression, you're going to watch God cut them loose when they come to the altar. And you're going to watch God completely deliver them. But there's something in the house. There is a schism that the Lord has identified. And he's saying to the church tonight, if you're divided, you can't stand. Get rid of the schism. Fix that thing. Every member should be looking out for each other, not coming against each other. And so we talk about gifts of the Spirit. I love the way this is laid out, because when you read this, if you understand it correctly, you'll understand. I could summarize what Paul's saying this way. Don't nobody get too high on your own little gifting. Your own little gifting by itself ain't nothing. I didn't give you a gifting so you could get high on yourself. I gave you a gifting, so when you put it together, it's like a bunch of Legos. You can build something really pretty out of it. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or I think it's chapter 13. No, it is chapter 12 still. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely, uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I'm gonna use an example here real quick. Where's my good friend Dan Popadak? Come on up here for a minute, Dan. I just forgot to rock his world tonight. Do me a favor, grab a chair and sit it right there in the front so he can sit there. I know you're operating the camera. Just keep that camera on me. I don't care. You can let it go. I'll try and stay in frame. Just have a seat in that chair for me, if you would, just for 1 second. Now, I'm not picking on you for any particular reason, just for the record. I just felt like picking on you. Now, I need another chair up here. Put it right beside his chair. One of you girls, come up here for me, if you would. There you go. Come on, sit beside him. I have a question for you. I'm going to interview you. Are you a preacher?
No.
What, do you hold any offices in the church?
No.
Okay. Are you an evangelist?
No.
Prophet?
No.
Okay. Are you rich?
No.
Darn. I was hoping she'd say yes to that one. So now that we've established that, I just wanted Brother Dan to know that you need her. On the surface, doesn't look like she has much to offer. But for some reason, the Bible says you need her. Now, you tell me last week that you don't like Brother Dan. Isn't that what you told me?
No.
She didn't tell me that. But if you didn't, you still need him. You need him. Whatever he does. You might not even know it, but you still need him. You see, there's two drastic contrast here. I need two more volunteers real quick. Come on, quickly. Give me two more chairs up here. All right, hurry up. Sit down, Troy. Come on, quickly. All right, now, you bring me the chair, but you can go. Brother Tyler, come on up. Let's pick on you, too. What are you doing here? All right, give me a third chair. We're not going to let him out of it. You stay there. Good job. That's okay. Give me another chair. I'll tell you what he's doing here. He's listening to the word. He's like, y'all need me. That's why I'm here. I just realized you need me. Now, I know Brother Tyler, and I know Brother Troy, and I know this young man. I don't know everything about him, though. Now, I know Brother Tyler and Brother Troy don't have much in common. They're just different people, come from different walks of life. And probably both of you, do you know anything about him? Not much. You know anything about him? Not much. Not knowing anything about him, one thing we do know is we need him. That is the word of God. And Brother Tyler needs Troy. Now, Troy's a little crazy. And y'all ain't seen all of his craziness. But there's still something about Troy that we need. What I'm saying is we've got, now I know this is funny, but there's such a wide gap of people that are up here from completely opposite walks of life. And some of y'all probably never even talk hardly. But you need each other. According to this verse right here, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Go to the next verse. I think I used the next verse too, or no? For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. What I'm trying to explain to you today, if the body, if the church, if the house, whether it be your physical home or the spiritual home, if it's going to become stronger, then we need to recognize the importance of every single person and the role that they play. Nobody is too far away to not pick up for church. Nobody is expendable. There is not a service where it doesn't matter if so-and-so comes. We need everybody. We need the entire body. I wish that I had this a picture ready for you, because now is the time I could use it, but I don't have it. But up in Jefferson, if you ever been to the coffee shop, how many of you have been to the coffee shop in Jefferson? How many of y'all sat there like I do and you stare at the brick wall? I'll tell you, I stare at it. I got some pictures in my phone, but I'm not going to have time to find them. Yeah, I'm going to find them. Hang on a second. Do you know why I stare at that brick wall? Because I'm sitting there one day, because when you're a pastor, you don't just get to sit and relax, because God's always trying to figure something out to give you something to preach about. And he's always trying to work with you and trying to keep your spirit stirred so you don't become spiritually lethargic. And I'm sitting there one day, I'm looking at this brick wall, and I'm like, huh. Now, 40 years ago, ain't nobody would have used this brick wall as a finished product, if you please, because look at it. Look at it. Would you just look at it? Some of y'all will get that at some point. And so anyway, oh God, help me find this picture. I'm looking at it and I'm noticing some of these bricks got big chunks out of them. And some of them don't look so pretty. Some of them are smooth on the surface. And some got the mortar falling out of them. And the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, that's what the church looks like. The church is not full of pretty, whole, complete people. But it's got people that got holes in their life. And they've got brokenness. And there are things that are falling apart. But when you put them all together, the wall will stand. And it will hold the roof up as long as it's put together right. And you patch those pieces. I wish I had the picture so I could show you. I'm here to tell you tonight that a house divided cannot stand. You guys can go sit down. Thank you for being my example. But if we don't recognize that every brick matters, and we try and act like this one don't matter, that don't matter, maybe I have more to offer. Imagine being a king and having no kingdom. Everybody can profess themselves a king. But if you don't have a kingdom and you don't have people to follow, if you don't have an army, you got nothing. Now here's why I wanted to read this to you. You want God to move? How many in this place want God to move? How many of y'all are tired of seeing some of your loved ones come in and out and not sell out? How many of you are tired of seeing them getting touched by God and going back to the same life? I'm here to prophesy to you tonight that if we'll fix the schisms that are in the body, and you might not be able to see them, you might have to pray about it and ask God to show you. You might even be the schism yourself. You might have to ask God to show you that too. If we'll understand that a house divided cannot stand, you might have the building, but the spiritual structure is collapsing. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but what I am saying is God is trying to help us understand something. The kingdom of God has come, and you'll know it when people start being cast. The devils are cast out of them, and they can't continue to live an unrighteous and ungodly lifestyle without feeling tugged at by the Spirit, without being pulled out of the world. They can't continue to live in sin without the Holy Ghost convicting them. And if we fix the schisms, the reason I talk to you about the gifts is everybody's got something to offer. You want to see God move? You want to see the gifts of the Spirit operate? And I'm going to show you something when I finish here. But it begins, it's not the ending, but it begins by getting the schisms fixed. That's why Paul was talking to the church at Corinth. He was saying, listen, you got some gifts going on, but there's all kind of problems in the body. There's all kind of schisms in the body. And I'll tell you, I told the leaders last week, I feel like we're about 95% there. I feel like God is waiting to fix the last few things. And I don't know what they all are, but God will reveal it in time. But when I am intent on this year, in 2022, I am intent bent on getting this structure fixed up and making sure it's right and saying, okay, kingdom, come on down. We have been praying for this. We've been asking about this. And we fixed the structure. Now you move the way we need you to move. Now here's the problem. I got to hurry so I don't spend too long on this. I won't be super long, but we become content with God using us. That's why people get offended when they don't get used, because it's about them, it's not about the body. And we become content with God using me. We're not focused on the collective body or the collective house. And so when that happens, we can often get lost and not even realize there are schisms in the body. Because I'm good. You get up and you preach about, man, I feel like there's people are going through hell right now. And you're like, I'm good. I don't know what you're preaching about. I'm fine. I ain't talking about you. But I might be talking about the one beside you or the one behind you. And if you get your eyes off yourself, you might understand that it isn't about you. And that's why he talks about all these diversities of the gifts, and he stresses, but it's still done in the same body. The Corinthian church had the gifts moving in the church, but they had it all messed up. And he began by telling them, how come there are divisions among you? So we want to get to a place where the gifts are moving and they're moving in sync. That's why you have chapter 14. Paul trying to fix their thinking, help them understand some things. That's why Paul finished, after the life of me, I still cannot understand why people say, you're not supposed to speak in tongues in church. Have you read your Bible? He said, forbid not any to speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Why? That the church would be edified. That doesn't negate one over the other. It's putting it into perspective. It's making sure the church is flowing smoothly. It's making sure everything is syncing up the way God intended it to sync up. Your car can drive, but you can have a rod knocking. You can have a bad lifter. You can be losing oil every day. But sometimes we can just get focused on, well, I can still get point A to point B. I'm fine. And you don't understand, eventually that little mechanical house of yours that gets you to point A to point B every day, it's going to collapse because of the schisms. We just get co. I don't care. As long as it gets me point A, point B, one day it's going to break. Elijah told Elisha, he said, you want a double portion of my anointing? He said, follow me. Stick with me. Stay with me. I can conceivably say to you and feel very confident in saying, that Elisha already recognized his anointing. He wanted a double portion of it. So he was already an anointed man. He was already a man that more than likely operated in the gifts of, if you please, in that time. But to obey is better than to sacrifice. Follow me. You want what God has, follow me. You're going to listen to me. You're going to watch me. And when the time is right, then you'll be released. Fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. You see, no matter where you are in your walk with God, we always need to be built up further. There's always got to be edification that's happening in our lives. Because as we grow, you can have something and not know how to use it. And I don't hear it preached enough, and probably I'm just as guilty. But you can have gifts and not understand what you've got. Not understand what God has bestowed upon you. Not understand the way God wants to use it. Not understand why God wants to use it or why he has gifted you. He has not gifted you for your own benefit or for your own celebration. He's gifted you for the body. So when we get the schisms closed, we can have an activation of the gifts of the Spirit the way God wants them to operate within the body. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. It says, charity suffereth long. God, I didn't want to preach this because I knew charity would be here tonight. And is kind. We'll talk about that, John. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believe all things, hope all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. The other word for charity is love. We preached about love, I believe, last Wednesday. If you have all those things going on, but you don't have love or you don't have charity, it's like find my next verse. I think, is it the next verse? Let me find it here. Hold on a second. It was the first verse. So I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. You have all the Holy Ghost in the world, but do you have love? Love for people. Love for the kingdom of God. Love for the will of God. Love for God's purpose. Love for God's plan. Love for God's people. That includes the ones you don't want to love. Includes one you don't think about. You have all those things, but you don't have love. You don't have anything. So you see, that teaches us, and chapter 13 is a continuation of chapter 12. So the Apostle Paul is talking about all of these giftings. And then he begins to talk about charity. And he's saying, I want you to understand something. We all have these different operations and there are diversities in the body and every person has their own gifting. And it's all under the same Spirit, all by the same God, and those gifts are all for the kingdom of God, and they're for the body collectively. But then he says, "But I want you to understand something. Don't look at the gifts alone as being this oracle of God, because if you have all these giftings, but you still don't have love, you still don't have anything." Put it on verse 1 for us. There it is. Oh, it's there. I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Is Dan in the drum booth? Run there, Brother Jerry, and just beat on those cymbals for me for a minute, would you? Beat on them hard. Dan's watching closely. A little harder. Now, hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. How would you like it? Go ahead and play, honey. That sounds really good. Keep going. Nice drum cage. We got some nice drums in there, don't we? Anybody feel the Holy Ghost now? That's what it's like when all you talk about is how much Holy Ghost you got, how many gifts you might operate in, but you don't have love for people. You want the body to be whole? Get rid of the schisms. You want the house to stand strong? Get rid of the schisms. You can stop, because that's driving me crazy. You did a good job, though, Brother Jerry. Everybody give our new drummer a hand clap. That's why we have the ministry, the fivefold ministry, evangelists, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Because we do stray from time to time. But I'm going to tell you this tonight, and I'm going to close with this, and I hope I haven't bored you. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this in the Holy Ghost. The prayers that you have been praying, I'm telling you, God is setting up the church to do exactly what we've asked him to do. But he is saying to the church tonight, find any schisms and fix them. Identify the schisms, identify the cracks. Identify the gaps and fix them. If not, you may have all these wonderful things going on. But the body cannot be built up the way God wants it to, and it cannot last. It cannot stand. Be like bouncing your head off a wall. So a house divided, a city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We're going to pray tonight for the strong man that might have been bound. We're going to pray for the house whose goods may have been spoiled. You might not even know who they are. There are people here tonight, your world has been rocked in one way or another over the last several years. And the devil just loves trying to destroy people. You want to make it? Understand the importance of an Elijah and an Elisha. Understand the importance of being obedient to the things of God. It matters more than what you ever imagined. We've allowed the spirit of this world, we've allowed the spirit of rebellion to infest the church. And people think, oh, you got to listen to you. Oh, you ain't know my boss. I don't obey nobody but God. That's an ugly, nasty spirit of rebellion that's completely contradictory to the things of God. It is. But when we will do our part, God will open up heaven. There are some people here, even now, you have giftings that have been dormant. When you find the schism, God will activate the gifting in your life. But you got to find the schism. We'll help with all that we can. And it's beneficial to me as a pastor for your giftings to open up. And it's beneficial to the body for your giftings to open up. But God isn't just going to do it so we feel good about ourselves. He's going to do it. And the same thing goes, I want to stress, with your home. You want your kids to love going to church? Make sure there's no schisms in your body at your house. You want your kids to serve God and love serving God and not complain about going? Make sure the schisms in the body are fixed. Because when everything is right, it just lines up. God has a beautiful way of His kingdom coming to fruition and operation. Would you stand with me? There's no easy way for me to close it. I feel like I've already gone too long. I know this church, and I know, and I mean this, we have a church full of humble, sincere people that would point their finger at themselves before anybody else. There might be a few who likes pointing their finger at other people first. But for the most part, we have a great church in that. And I wish I could get you to see what I see. I wish I could get you to feel what I feel. When I can see God opening up the heavens. And I can see those who have prayed for things for so long, they're going to start to happen. It's going to be like a light bulb was turned on, like a faucet was opened up. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost confirm that so strong. But you got to make sure you get your schisms fixed first. Because if your house is divided, it can't stand. If we as a church are divided, we can't stand. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you would take this simple word tonight. And I pray that you, God, would let it settle on each and every person as it's supposed to. God, let it rest on every person. Let it rest on every heart right now, oh God. Let us look at ourselves within ourselves, oh God. Lord, if there are schisms, Lord, help us, God, to patch the holes, to fix the cracks. Open up the heavens, Lord Jesus, I pray. Because we have needed you for a long time, God. We have prayed for things. But I believe the Holy Ghost tonight is saying there will be prayers that have been prayed. They are right on the horizon. The answer is right there. Just keep working on the body. Keep the body right. Don't let schisms in the body. Don't let the strong man be bound. If it's in your home, defend your husband. If it's in the church, defend your pastor. Defend the leadership. Don't let him be bound at all. And God will strengthen that home. God will strengthen that edifice, that spiritual giant, if you please. But we have got to do our part. Would you pray with me right now? Would you worship the Lord right now as they sing? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Die hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Today there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life was born. Jesus is calling.
Sing hallelujah, Christ is.
a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, bow down before.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ.